Okay, joining us now on the line, we have Dr. Angelique Kutsia, chairperson of the South African Medical Association, SAMA, and Dr. Claire Catland, scientific coordinator at the WITS African Leadership in Vaccinology Expertise Consortium. Well, both Angelique and Claire, a very good morning to you, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning.
All right, so Angelique, if we can start with you, right? There's been a lot of talk about Gauteng going into lockdown level 5. On the face of it, it would make sense. We're bearing the brunt of this wave. It's assumed that lockdown means lesser movement, hence lesser infections. But is that really so? I mean, 1.5 years in now, are these kind of lockdowns, whether it's level 3 or level 5, really as effective as initially assumed?
If you ask me that question, I would say it's too late. We should have done this when we started alerting that there's a problem in Gauteng. Now the virus is out there. It's very difficult to get the virus back into the box. So we need to go through this. What we need to do is we need to get people out of indoor spaces where there's more than 10 people. Again, we need to get the children back at home, but apparently that's not a problem according to the education department. And so, you know, the hospitals are overflowing, but it's too late now to try to curb the spread in Gauteng. And you can't close the borders anymore. The virus needs a warm body and it's traveling. It's already, I can promise you, it's already in other provinces. That's my opinion. I'm not sure what my colleague is saying.
Claire, what's your thoughts on it?
So I think that closing the borders to from Gauteng out will not have a significant impact on moving the virus out. What we do have, though, is that some of the provinces surrounding us have got lower numbers. You know, they're not into their third wave properly. Gauteng is obviously the epicenter, as we've heard from the NICD and other sources. And we do need to try and contain it. So I think that the main thing that has to happen now is that people need to take responsibility for themselves. There's a lot of pandemic fatigue, and that is frustrating. We do know that people don't like wearing masks, and we really want to get out and socialize. But knowing that what is happening in the province at the moment, people do need to take responsibility for themselves. They need to wear their masks. They need to sanitize. They need to stop going out and socializing, particularly in indoor spaces, which is difficult at this stage being in winter, and really just protect themselves and protect those that are vulnerable.
Now, Angelique, coming back to you, right? In this week, we heard, for example, Western Australia officially announcing that all restrictions are uplifted. People don't even have to wear masks any longer. They've managed to get their cases down to zero for a considerable period of time. I think yesterday there was something coming out of New York as well. What did they get right? And was it possible for us to get the same thing right here in South Africa? Or are our dynamics significantly different?
Our dynamics are different. That's the first thing. The second thing is they ran a very successful vaccination program, and they are much more stricter. So when there's rules and regulations, they enforce them. In South Africa, we've got good rules and regulations, and no one listens to it. So our vaccination program is far lacking behind. We don't have the luxury of being able to choose between different vaccines. And on top of it, there is a lot of political decisions being made in South Africa around health by non-healthcare people or people into command positions that doesn't understand what is happening at ground level. So, and we have advisory committees whose advice are not taken. So, you know, I'm also not sure why we have these type of committees. We can just as well leave them.
Claire, I mean, is it still realistic for us to achieve something similar in say, the next 6 months or so? Can, towards the end of this year, early part of next year, South Africa be in a similar situation where we can announce, like Western Australia, and say, look, all restrictions are uplifted, no longer need to wear masks or to do any distancing or anything of that sort. It's now relatively safe.
I think a lot of that depends on, how well the vaccine rollout program continues, and how good the uptake of vaccines is. Something that people need to remember is that the body takes time to respond adequately to the vaccine, and protection is only best more than 2 weeks after the second dose of the two-dose vaccines, for example, the Pfizer vaccine. So what people need to do is make sure that, yes, the vaccines are being rolled out at the moment to over 60s, to get over 60s healthcare workers and our teachers vaccinated. And not just with the first vaccine, people need to go for the second vaccine, which is being offered 42 days after the first dose of the vaccine. If that happens, and if there's a good uptake and there's a quick vaccine rollout, in next year we may be able to lift some restrictions. I don't think that we will be able to lift all restrictions like Australia has, because our society is different, our setup is different, and there's a lot of overcrowding in some areas, and a lot of people don't abide by the rules as strictly as what the Australians do. And as Dr. Cassez said, the rules are not enforced.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question that comes up quite often, in social interaction. You hear people say, yes, but, Mr. X was taking all precaution and yet he got it. And Mr. Y was very casual, hardly wears his mask, greets everybody by hand, does this, does that, and he's never got it. Another person, Mr. Z, he's so cautious, but he's got it twice. How do we explain that scientifically?
I think it depends on what are the different ages of Mr. X, Y, and Z, and what are their different comorbidities. Mm. So what we do see is that even many of the children, who, particularly the younger children, have difficulty wearing masks and keeping them on and understanding the reasons why they're doing that. They want to play on the sports field. They're throwing balls to each other. So the children should be the ones that are most likely to spread the infections between each other, but yet they don't get sick. And part of that is because they, biologically, they do not develop the symptoms severely, and they don't come down. They've got very few comorbidities. As people get older, and particularly over 60, or have other comorbidities like hypertension, obesity, diabetes, asthma, other chronic lung diseases, and heart diseases, so their risks may go up. So their risks do go up of displaying symptoms and severe symptoms, and which may require hospitalization and may unfortunately lead to death. So it does depend on who these different people are, and it depends on interactions not only of themselves but of the people that they are in contact with. Mm. These many people say that, oh no, they're wearing their mask, but you see they're wearing their mask covering their lips and not their nose. So they might think that they're abiding by the mask wearing, but actually they're not.
Yeah. Angelique, another issue that comes up, and perhaps you can give the medical or scientific explanation for this, is people ask that why is it that, for example, in Gauteng we're bearing the brunt of the wave, but not in other provinces? How exactly do these trends work? Last time round, it seemed to hit harder in KZN than it did in Gauteng.
So I think it's a very important question, and for now, the answer is actually very simple. Gauteng is very densely populated. And the second thing to understand is that the current our strain, the Beta strain, are very contagious. So it's not as deadly, but extremely contagious. So we've got I always say, the perfect makeup. It's winter, it's cold, people not wearing their masks, families come together, and this all leads then to these people getting more sick.
Would the same not apply, for example, in KZN, that it's cold, the Beta virus is there, and the misbehavior, if we can call it that, is the same in KZN as it is in Gauteng? If we go by how densely populated we were, why did we not bear the brunt in Gauteng the first two times around?
So it all, again, depends. So in the second wave, we also saw a lot of people in Gauteng get it infected. And then remember, it was summer, so then, you know, once people came back from their holidays, they went back to work, and so they're not crowding that much anymore at that stage. So for now, I can promise you it's going to spread to KZN. It's not going to leave KZN. KZN will get their fair share, because the way that we see this virus is behaving, it will not jump KZN.
Hmm. Claire, you know, another issue that people bring up, and both of you have alluded to this, and many experts say that, look, our prospects going forward all depend on the uptake of vaccines. And we know there's a fair degree of skepticism, and that skepticism seems to be fueled by reports that circulate on social media and are communicated in social interaction, where people are increasingly saying, I know that person, they took the vaccine, they still got it. I know that person, they took the vaccine, and they died.
Yeah.
Yes, you're still with us, Claire?
Sorry, you faded out. What was the actual question?
Yeah, I'm saying, so how do you respond to that?
Sure. So it very much depends on when the person got the vaccine and when they were infected. So as I've mentioned, the vaccine itself, it encourages the body to mount an immune response. The body needs to fight against the vaccine, and it does take time. So some people might say, oh, so-and-so got the vaccine, and they got sick. But if you look at the timeline, they may have got sick 2 weeks after receiving the first dose of the vaccine, where they would be slightly protected, but not fully protected yet. What needs to happen is people need to understand that a vaccine, once you have a vaccine, you're still not fully protected. None of the vaccines have got an 100% efficacy. So there's a significant decrease in your risk of getting severe disease or of dying if you have had both doses of the Pfizer vaccine and you're at least 2 weeks after the second dose of the vaccine. Then you've got a significantly reduced risk of developing severe disease. There is still a small risk, even if you are fully vaccinated, of developing severe disease, but your risk is much, much, much lower. The vaccines are not protecting against mild disease, so people can still get and are still getting mild disease, and that is what people need to keep in mind. So even if they've had the vaccines, they still need to maintain social distancing. They still need to sanitize their hands and wear their masks properly. And if they're symptomatic, they do need to stay at home and quarantine from other people.
All right, Dr. Claire Catlin and Dr. Angelique Kutsia, we thank you both for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Please stay safe.
It was chairperson of the South African Medical Association, Dr. Angelique Kutsia, and Dr. Claire Catlin from the WITS African Leadership Program on Vaccinology, talking to us this morning about various issues pertaining to this call for a stricter lockdown. And you heard Angelique say it up front there, it's too late. It's too late now to move to that stricter lockdown for it to have any impact.